AgriTalk is brought to you by Authority Supreme Herbicide from FMC. Learn more at ag.fmc.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us this morning. Just I want to get this in case we run out of time at the end of the show. Come back this afternoon, 206 Central. We're going to have a conversation with a couple of guests. We've got Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services, and then Ethan Lane from NCBA is going to be on to answer some listener questions about what is happening out there. But right now, we've got Dr. Jim Mintert with us. Dr. Jim, of course, is at Purdue University, and he's got the details of the latest Ag Economy Barometer. Joins us right now. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, Chip. Great to be on the program.
Yep. Well, I look forward to, well, Davis and I both really look forward to the conversations on a monthly basis with you here. Yeah. And for only the second time since May, the Ag Economy Barometer rose in December. What was behind that, Jim?
Well, that's a good question. So the index was up 9 points. So it was a small or kind of a modest increase to the reading of 125 versus 116 last month. And the big driver was current conditions. The current condition index was up, I think, 18 points, 146 versus 128 a month ago. Future expectations, almost no change. It was up 4 points, 114 versus 110. So okay. The bottom line was people felt better about where their farms are here towards the end of 2021. I think it's a reflection of the fact, particularly for fall harvested crops, there was good yields, good prices for some of the tail end sales for the 2020 crop. Obviously, any of the 2021 crop was sold at good prices. People felt very good about that. Financial performance index was up, so reflecting that increase or improvement in people's income statements and perhaps their balance sheets as well. So that was the positive side. Looking ahead, people are very concerned about what 22 is going to look like.
Right. Some of that increase in the current conditions index, Jim, might it be because guys finally for 2021 were sitting down and taking a serious look at what that 21 crop and market did for their financing?
I think that was it exactly. And I think that's also why that Farm Financial Performance Index improved, because it was up 7 points. That's the second month in a row it was up, although the one in the increase in November was very, very small. But if you look at December versus, for example, October, clearly people felt better about where they're at. The interesting thing about the Farm Financial Performance Index is, you know, it's one of the few that's really showing some strength relative to where we were prior to the pandemic, right? That index of 113, you go back before the pandemic got underway, we were under 100. We were down around roughly 89 or 90. So yeah. People are feeling better about where their farm is today, but they are very concerned about where we're headed in 2022. The level of certainty for 2022, I think, is virtually unprecedented.
Right. Okay. And that, I'm assuming that you asked some follow-up questions to that, but I'm assuming that it's the input costs that have got everybody all kind of freaked out for 22.
It's the input cost, and it's also the inability to secure some of those inputs. Okay. So you take a look at the input cost side of the equation. We had a huge percentage of people say they expect to see farm input prices exceed a 30% increase in 2022 versus 2021. That's unprecedented. You go back in that index of prices paid index, USDA, you don't see a year-to-year change of that magnitude, yet that's what people are looking at. They're not used to doing that. They don't know how to deal with that, or they're certainly uncertain about how to deal with that. Farm Capital Investment Index was up 10 points this month, but from a very low level, and still leaves it at a very low level at 49 versus it was back in 93 back in the spring. So, you know, when we asked people about farm capital investments, we said, are the low farm machinery inventories impacting your decision making? 45% of the people in the survey said, yeah, we're having trouble. Low inventories are holding us back. The same story with respect to input purchases, more broadly speaking, for crop inputs. I think roughly 39, almost 4 out of 10, 39%, 4 out of 10 producers in the survey said they were having trouble securing all of the crop inputs for their farming operation for the 2022 crop season. And when we followed up one more time and asked them, you know, which inputs are causing the biggest problem? Well, no big surprise, fertilizer was number one. But okay, the other categories, herbicides, insecticides, and pharmaceutical parts, weren't very far behind. So people are experiencing difficulty across the board with respect to securing what it is they need to put a crop in the ground in the spring of 22.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting that that the fertilizer gets right to the top of the list like that. Okay, so put on your counselor's hat here for a moment, Jim. We've got this unprecedented one-year increase in costs. You said the producers are unsure on how to deal with it. How do we deal with it? How do you take some of the anxiety out of the year ahead?
That's a great question, but I think people are already trying to deal with it as best they can. People are trying to make those input purchases. They're working with their suppliers. They're trying to lock things in. They're trying to lock them in at prices they're not used to, but they're recognizing that it's better to have it locked in probably than to be uncertain. The one that I think some people are maybe holding back on a little bit is nitrogen, because of the possibility that by the time we get to side dress season, maybe things will improve. But it's going to be very tight this spring. And the good news, of course, is the strength that we're seeing in output prices, right, which is coming largely out of South America. You guys have been talking about that a lot. But the strength there means the issue, I think, is going to be about, can I get what I want as opposed to will I pay for it? Because the margins look like they're going to be strong enough, even at these high input prices, to make people want to buy, for example, nitrogen, and use rates that are maybe a little bit lower than last year. But, you know, you look at the nitrogen rate calculator that Iowa State posts and has data for a multitude of the Corn Belt states. Those reductions in nitrogen usage might only be in the ballpark of 10, maybe 15%. So people are going to want to buy the inputs. The question is, can I get them lined up, and can I get them in a timely fashion?
Okay. Yep.
Dr. Minter, if we could shift gears over to the farmland market, your survey found a decline in the short-term and longer-term farmland value expectation indices. However, still very near all-time highs. What's interesting to me here is one of the breakout questions: if you expect farmland values to rise, what do you think that main reason is going to be? By a wide margin, non-farm investor demand is pointed to as the main reason for potential, you know, a continuation of increases in farmland values. Can you talk about that a little bit?
The single biggest surprise to us on this month's survey responses was the responses to that question. And just so your listeners know, we provided the respondents some buckets to choose from. One of the buckets was strong farm cash flows. One was low interest rates. One was the other category, meaning something we didn't list. And then non-farm investor demand. And 6 out of 10, 61% of the people in the survey, they expect to see farmland values go up in the next year, said it was non-farm investor demand was their number one reason, not necessarily their only reason, but their number one reason why farmland values are going to go up. Michael Langemeyer and I, my co-author, both think it's strong farm cash flows and low interest rates are the primary drivers. It's very interesting that this group thought that non-farm investor demand was the key factor. One thing to keep in mind in our survey, though, is we're surveying the broad group of producers. And a lot of those producers are not in the farmland market, right? They're not actively bidding. Perhaps, you know, they've never bought a farm, or if they have, they bought one a long time ago, maybe don't plan to sell anytime near. So they're not necessarily the folks that are in the day-to-day participating in the market, but it's their perception. And I think that's what counts here. This is really about their perception of what's driving farmland values.
Yeah. To me, because in a vast majority of land sales, Davis, check me on this, but vast majority of land sales, it's another farmer that is buying that piece of ground. Now, an investor may have been there competing for it, but at the end, the price was set by two competing farmers to get that piece of ground. So it's almost like casting blame in an opposite direction instead of saying, no, we're doing this to ourselves. Right, Jim?
Well, and I think the other thing is, if we had a chance to redo the question, we were going to ask this again this coming month, so we will get another opportunity. We should have put another bucket in there, which was inflation. And I wonder, looking at these results, if some people might have said non-farm investor thinking in the back of their mind, inflation, and people using farmland as an inflation hedge. And obviously farmers use it as an inflation hedge as well.
Sure.
So I wonder if we've got a little of that mixed in there. And I don't want to deny the fact that non-farm investors can have a role to play. If you talk to the auctioneers, they clearly are getting some input and some interest from non-farm investors, but I don't think, from my perspective, that's the number one factor driving farmland values.
Right, right. I can't believe we're out of time. We need to schedule more time with you if we can. Jim, these are great conversations. Thank you so much for making time for us every month.
Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it. Look forward to next month.
All right. Very good. That is Dr. Jim Mintert, Purdue University Ag Economist and author of the Ag Economy Barometer. As Jim said, along with his cohort there, Michael Langemeyer. We'll be back with the Farmer Forum. Chad in Iowa, Randy in Nebraska next.